Welcome to the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. Ben Trueblood here with John Paul Basham.
Yo!
We are pumped because it's Olympic season.
Man, the Olympics are some of my favorites. I texted a friend of mine last night. We had a dude living with us for about a month while he was trying to decide what all he wanted to kind of do with his life. He was a student that came through our ministry. So last time, it was the Summer Olympics, last time the Olympics were on. And we decided to go out in my front yard and try our hand at long jumping in my front yard.
Just grass.
Yeah, it was awesome. So I texted him. I was like, bro, the last time the Olympics were on, we were long jumping in my front yard. That's now I kind of so wish great. I had a place to do some kind of luge or skeleton.
Yeah. So here's the question. Anytime we talk about the Olympics, you always got to go favorite event. So it's Winter Olympics time right now. Some of you, now I know there are varying opinions on this. Like you might be listening to the podcast and you're like, I hate the Olympics. Like, why would you watch those things? Half of them aren't even real sports. Listen, I understand where you're coming from. I happen to disagree.
Me too.
But I understand the point of view. So John Paul, top couple, one, two, three, however many you can, not however many. Let's go with a top three. Top three favorite.
All right, here's my favorites. I love the Winter Olympics because of the speed and just the danger of some of those sports.
Yeah.
You know, like Summer Olympics, you know, people are running track and stuff. You might pull a hamstring or something. But
right.
There's not like a real threat of danger. Maybe to the referee that's doing the javelin or something, you know.
Yeah.
If he doesn't get out of the way, he's
like
gonna miss.
Like soccer would probably be the highest potential for injury in summer, right?
Yeah. Maybe pole vaulting if something went terribly wrong, but you got the big old pad. They're probably not going to fall
skeet,
backwards.
The sports shooting. You could really go wrong there if something.
But all of these are like, okay, if they weren't actually Olympians, this would be real dangerous.
Right.
But they're so proficient. It's just like, okay, how high can you jump? How fast can you run? But downhill skiing, when those dudes jump and they're going like the Bodie. What's his name?
Miller. Bodie Miller.
Who has the most boring announcing voice that I think I've ever listened to in a sporting event, just as an aside. You know, he's saying when they jump, they're going like 140 feet, almost 50 yards.
And it doesn't look like that on TV.
No, but they're flying.
Yeah, that's 60-plus miles an hour for 50 yards.
See, I love that. So I love the downhill. I love any of the sledding.
Okay.
Bobsled. It's the one that has two people in it and the one with four,
right.
However those are called.
I think they're just two and four man bobsled.
See, that makes sense.
It's like we named them.
Yeah. The skeleton, the luge.
Now, the skeleton is the head first version of the luge, right?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the difference between the two.
See, that's the. If I was going to bet on this, I would bet somebody said, okay, let's do the luge. And then the bad idea guy said, watch this. I'm going down head first. And they said, new sport.
Yeah. I mean, it literally, its eyeballs, it looks like 6 inches above the ice.
Yeah.
And they're just flying down that thing.
Yeah. Like you could get hurt bad.
Yeah.
Maybe die.
Do you think there's even reaction time? Like if you see, because they memorize the course, right?
Yeah.
It's not like if it works the way that Cool Runnings did.
They're all sitting in their bathtubs right
memorizing the course. That's right. Going right and left. Because you're going, what, like 60, 70 miles an hour on that thing, and your face is right above the ice tube.
Yeah.
Would you try it?
Heck yeah.
Not a chance. All right, so there's your
real bad.
So you had the downhill skiing and the sledding races. You have a number three.
Half pipe. When Shaun White was standing up there for his final run, right? It all came down to, can Shaun White pull it off?
Yeah.
my heart was racing. I mean, as fast as it's raced. I was so nervous.
Just at home.
And my wife couldn't have cared less. She was like on her phone. I was like, Crystal, do you not care? Like, it's down to this.
This is it.
And they kept waiting. He must have like tightened up his bootstraps or whatever like 45 times. He just kept clicking them. And I was like, oh my gosh, come on.
Yeah.
And then he just nailed it.
It was amazing. That was a moment for sure. And I think that's a moment that, like, you know, you have the game-winning buzzer beater in other sports, and you have, you know, down 3-0 and coming back and winning it or whatever. But as far as individual competition, the Olympics provides that moment like no other sport.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, whether it's even ice skating, like you come down to the last people in do in the partner skate or the last individual, and they know walking out on the half pipe or on the ice or whatever, you know, at the top of the alpine, like they know I have to do this in order to win.
Yeah.
And then just nerves of steel to go out there and just kill it. And then it was so cool, like especially with the Shaun White thing, he knew when he got to the end of the run, they know whether or not they've done it or not. And it's an amazing moment.
Did you watch the video of his injury like 4 months before the Olympics?
No, I haven't seen the video of it.
It is brutal. I mean, it's thankfully it's not right up close, but you see his face just slam. And I think it hits his snowboard and not the edge of the half pipe, but the way he falls is it's like, oh my gosh, like he might be dead. And then they blur his face out so you can't really see the injury, but it looks like a gap like the width of a finger in his lip, like it shredded his lip.
And then to just get back on the board.
Yeah.
And so I mean, he probably didn't that day, but no. You know, you got to continue to practice.
But they said 62 stitches in his face. That's where I went back to look, because I'm looking at his face. I'm like, okay, 4 months ago, 62 stitches.
You think there'd
where'd
be
all
like
that
a lot
go?
Of scars and stuff. Yeah. Yeah. Man, so my top three, I too would go with the sledding events.
For all three?
For just in a category.
Okay.
We'll go with the skeleton, the luge, and the bobsled in one unit. I love the half pipe. I would agree with you there. And then I like the one where the snowboarders race next, like they go down the thing next to each other.
I haven't seen that.
That one's cool, but I think a solid three for me would be, and I don't even know if it's not, I don't think it's called just the slalom, but it's the, it's the moguls with the jumps. So whatever that's called in the skiing, like freestyle or, but you've got the moguls, you know, the legs together, like back and forth a lot. Yeah. And then the jumps that are in the middle of it. That would be my solid three.
All right. So I have a question. In the sledding events.
Yes.
Which would be your favorite? The 4-man bobsled.
Okay.
The 2-man bobsled. The skeleton. The luge, or would you go with the double luge?
Now, are we talking for me to participate in, or just what I would enjoy watching the most?
Your favorite of the sledding events.
Okay, I think I'm going to have to go 4-man bobsled. Now, the skeleton is amazing. The team aspect of it, and all 4 people starting and jumping in at the same time. I love that component.
I have to say that the 2-man luge makes me uncomfortable.
It should. It should make them uncomfortable too.
If you don't know what the 2-man luge is, you need to Google pictures of 2-man luge.
Here's my question about the dual luge. You have the luge, which is one person.
Uh-huh.
And they do all of the activities. They do the start, they do the hand paddle with the special gloves, they steer the sled.
Yeah.
What is the guy on top doing?
I don't know.
What is his function? What does he do?
I don't know.
Like in the bobsled, you know, once the back people jump in like the ladies and the men's bobsled, once they jump in, their job is over. But they have to push the thing, like they have a task.
Yeah.
Shout out to Chip Minton, former U.S. bobsledder and friend of ours, member of Team Impact. So he's a stud.
Yeah.
Now, so like they have a role. I don't know what the top person in the double luge does.
Yeah, because the luge sled is not heavy.
No, it's maybe not, that's it. Maybe it's more weight so you get more speed.
Maybe so. But wouldn't you hate to be the guy? I mean, the guy on top. My only job is to get this thing going faster, and then I just have to lay on top of another guy for the whole ride.
Yeah, and trust him to steer it well.
Somebody should have said, "Nah, it's just not worth it."
Yeah, but if you were going to be in the Olympics, maybe the fast track to get there is to be top luge
the
dude.
Top of the dual luge.
Because, like, you don't have to skate. You don't have to pilot. You don't have to do cross country. You don't have to ski. You don't have to do any of that stuff. You just dead fish on top of the pilot.
That's when every country's like Olympic committee comes together and they've got this guy they all feel sorry for and they really want him to be able to participate because he's got a great personality. you know what you can do.
That's right.
You could be the top layer of a dual luge team.
Come on over, Steve. Let's get this thing knocked out.
What do I have to do, coach? Well, you just have to lay on this guy while you go down this slide.
So at this point, you might be wondering, we're several minutes into this thing and hadn't talked about student ministry yet. But there is a connection. So as we begin to dive into the Olympics and student ministry connection portion of this podcast, tweet us, let us know what your favorite winter Olympic sport is, and we would love to find out. And as always, carry the conversation outside the podcast. You can reach us at Ben Trueblood, at John Paul Basham. If you can, take a second, leave a rating and review when you get done with this podcast. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there, hit the subscribe button. So one of the things that I think is amazing about the Olympics, when we think about the United States specifically, and please know, this is not going to be like a USA is the greatest type of podcast. You know, we'll let the medals speak for themselves at the end of the thing. So, but here's one thing that I was talking to my kids about the other night. So I have an 11-year-old and a 9-year-old were watching the Olympics. And one of the things that I pointed out to them, because they have a ton of questions, because this really is the first Olympics that winter-wise that they're paying attention and they don't remember the last one. So they're asking a bunch of questions. I said, hey, one thing that's awesome about our country is what I want you to notice here. Like, watch when you see people with the American flag next to their name. And then look at the people from the other countries. One of the things that you're going to notice is like the vast majority of people from other countries are all going to look very similar. The Germans are going to look very similar. The Swedes are going to look very similar. Like all of these countries' people look like people from their country. And you're thinking, duh. Well, that's not a bad thing. But here's what I think is amazing about our country is that you look at the people that have the flag next to the United States flag next to them, and they literally are people from all over the world.
Yeah.
It truly is diversity in a snapshot. Like that, and that's amazing to see. And it's something that's so great about our country. There are people from all over the place who have come to the United States and are proud to compete for the United States, but also have heritage and culture from other places. And I think that's a unique thing to the United States. And I wanted to make sure that my kids at young ages embrace that reality, because the beauty in that is not something that is always celebrated or taken care of in our country, especially in this moment.
Yeah. And it's such a cool conversation to have in student ministry, because we know one day that we will, with people from every nation, worship together before the throne of God. And that's what the body of Christ is going to look like. It's going to look like people from every nation, every tribe, every tongue, unified under the banner of Christ.
Yeah.
It is really cool to see them marching in.
Yeah. And that banner is so much greater than the banner that this group of people unites under. And so if you're thinking in your student ministry, like, how can I use what's happening right now in our culture to relate and teach a spiritual principle? Like, that's perfect. And the unity that exists among that group of very diverse people is powerful. And that's what we're called to as believers,
yeah,
to unite under the banner of what Jesus has done for us and the Holy Spirit living in our lives. And in a culture where racism is still alive and well, your teenagers need to understand that they have a voice in that conversation, a very loud voice. And that if they catch a glimpse in their youth about what beautiful diversity means because of the gospel, then this is a generation that really could change things in regards to the race conversation,
yeah,
that's going on in our culture right now.
Man, it makes me think of, and you know, there's all kinds of people all over the interwebs talking about why this happened and was this a political, you know, decree, or was this really the decision of the Korean athletes? But the way that the North Korean athletes and the South Korean athletes walked into the opening ceremony together, did you see there was a couple of reporters, I don't remember where they were from, but they got to go out to the demilitarized zone. It's the border of North Korea and South Korea, and did you see that, where they filmed literally a little 20-second news report right in the middle of the road that is the border? It was crazy because North Korean troops had guns pointed at South Korean troops, and that's just the way they live every day. There's somebody, yeah, appointed there. And then they did another little – it was a bunch of little short news stories, and there was another one. They were kind of up on top of a hill, and there was an American soldier that was kind of talking through all the dynamics of being in that territory. And he said, he points out this tower, like, way down the mountain. And he said, well, way up the mountain. And he said, right now, there are guns pointed at us.
Mm.
And so then to see, you know, there's so much tension right there at that border. And we know there's so much tension in that country.
Yeah.
And then to see those athletes choose to walk in together, united under one flag, and just wearing a Korea uniform.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not North Korea, it's not South Korea, it's just a Korea uniform. They are unified in sport.
Yeah.
Which is a cool thing. But I think taking that one step further, the way that the Lord unifies people from opposite ends of every single spectrum, you know, is so much more powerful even than what we saw in the opening ceremonies.
Yeah. So why do you think sport, so even people who have racism in their thoughts, who are racist, who have a racist bent to them, like, even they would cheer for a sporting activity with people that they would be racist against. You see that happen all the time, right?
Yeah.
So somebody will cheer for a team and at the same time be racist against whatever group of people they are choosing to be racist against who are represented on that team. The same thing can happen in the Olympics because of the diversity. We celebrate a person, but then we're going to be racist in another environment. What do you think it is about sport that makes people, I don't know, maybe for a moment, look past some of the ignorances of, yeah, racist thought?
I think a lot of it just comes down to finding something that we're pushing the same direction for in common.
Yeah.
So we have this sport in common. We have this love of competition in common. You know, we have it's not the most spiritual example, but we have a hate for the other team in common. You know?
Yeah.
But those commonalities and that common goal of achieving and finding success in that same arena brings people together.
Yeah, it does bring people together. And I think the challenge in student ministry, and the challenge really more broadly than that for the church, both local and capital C church, us as believers, the challenge for us is that as we live in this world where division among peoples is a very real thing, man, maybe it's time for us as believers, beyond sport, to be the thing that brings people together.
Yeah.
And that's something that you as a student ministry leader can instill in the hearts and minds because of the gospel, in that they live that way. You can instill that into their hearts and minds.
Yeah.
And for a lot, the older generations, yes, people can change and people can adjust the way they think because of Jesus in their life. My opinion is, by and large, the older generations are not going to be the one to do this. It's the people that are sitting in your student ministries every week.
Yeah.
They're the ones. And this is a conversation that you can have right now in this moment because it's front and center. The picture of diversity, and I mean, you talked about it earlier with the picture of heaven being people from all tribes and all tongues, like that, it's a small snapshot of that. And this is the perfect moment for you to bring this up in your student ministry and ask some hard questions.
Producer Nathan brought up a cool point when we were talking through this episode a little bit. And he mentioned the level of respect that the athletes have for one another when they come to compete.
Yeah.
And there's this, there is, if you've ever been involved in competition at a high level, you know, when everybody comes to the field or the court or the arena, whatever it is, to compete at a high level, you have a certain level of respect that everybody else that's there with you has achieved this certain level of skill that's earned them a place there.
Yeah.
And so nobody's over there. Well, there might be a few super arrogant ones that are looking across the court saying, "Oh, there's a bunch of punks over there." But just in general, there is a high level of respect and revere for one another.
Yeah.
That brings some of that unity even among the athletes. And something that Nathan kind of brought out in conversation and that we thought was really cool is that we even more so should have a level of unity among each other as believers, because where those guys find unity in the fact that they achieved the same level of success, we have unity in the fact that none of us earned our place in the kingdom.
Yeah.
So it's like where pride and arrogance can stand in the way in the right moment, even in sports, even at that Olympic level, we don't have any excuse. There's nothing that should stand in the way, because it's all about what the Lord did for us, not about what we've done.
Yeah, that's true. In the same way, the Olympics really are the ultimate celebration of the ultimate effort and ultimate achievement. And the Christian life is just the opposite of that. It's the ultimate celebration of one person's ultimate achievement for all of us.
Yeah.
And the camaraderie that should bring when we see each other through those eyes. It's the Christian life is not about out-achieving someone else. It's about partnering together and living under the achievement of Jesus.
Yeah.
And realizing that all people are created in his image. That's where that respect comes. Like, we're all cut from that same cloth, so to speak. And so the respect and the honor that should come alongside that can really change a person's view of not only their own Christian life, but how their own Christian life should impact and influence the lives of others.
So I would challenge student pastors not only to hear that as something to inject into conversation with your students, but also hear this for yourself as you maybe struggle with whether or not you're going to partner with other student ministries in your city, or whether or not you're going to break down the silos that are between you and the kids ministry, or you and your college ministry, or you and whatever other ministry area in your church. Allow that unity under Christ to affect everything about you and your ministry. And don't let it just be something that you preach to your kids.
It's a good word. Because sometimes as leaders, we can be the first ones to do the opposite of that.
Yeah.
Speak it and then go back to being the ones who maybe don't want to have the camaraderie. And I mean, that can go down to the simplest things, like you mentioned, partnering with other student ministries in your area, giving away ministry to volunteer leaders so that you're not the knight in shining armor or shining luge coming in to save the day. You know, like that is a position that a lot of student ministry leaders and leaders in general, I think, deal with, is they want to be the ones to save the day.
Mm-hmm. But everybody wants to be the bottom man on the double luge. Nobody's willing
to
be the
drive.
Top guy.
That's right. They want to drive. But so much of ministry and leadership is giving away and having the camaraderie and respect to be able to say, hey, this is a us thing, not this is a me thing. And that you could take that even to another degree and say that's why you should be giving students in your ministry leadership opportunities.
Yeah,
because it's not good. Your ministry.
Yep.
Like this is an us thing, not just a me thing. I hope you have enjoyed the Winter Olympics episode of the Lifeway Student Ministry Podcast. As we said earlier, head over, leave a rating and review on iTunes. It helps people find this content as well. And we love spending every single week with you talking student ministry and some things maybe a little outside student ministry. But the main purpose is to come alongside you and help you, encourage you, maybe challenge you along the way to be the best student ministry leaders that you can be. What you do really matters. Lives are being changed. And we think that's really awesome. So have a great day. We'll see you next time.